And to kind of illustrate something that I'm sure that all of you are very familiar with. And you guys are brothers, right? Has your brother ever ticked you off, man? Has he ever really got you mad before? Have you ever got him mad? Have you ever done it on purpose? You know how to do it and do it pretty good? All right, So here's kind of the deal. How many of y'all got mad at somebody? I mean, literally, you've been mad at somebody, all right? Keep this in picture in mind with you and JT, all right, also? All right, and so when we get mad, how many of y'all like to hold grudges, man? I mean, it's in you, right? You're like, I'm not letting them off the hook. I'm holding on to them, and I'm going to get them back. Revenge somehow. How many of y'all are good at revenge? Yeah, you know, we've all been there, right? But today in Scripture, we're going to be taught something totally different. So here's the illustration. So Skylar just did something stupid. Do something stupid and make him mad. Yeah, there you go. All right. So that really offended Tiny. Can you see Tiny's face, how mad he is at this? So Tiny is now going, Skylar has now rented space in Tiny's head. You ever had anybody rent space in your head? Oh, it's political season. How many of the politicians have rented space in your head? And you get so consumed over what you hear, what you see. Ah, you know? And so Skylar is in Tiny's head right now. But what happens is when we're carrying him out, go ahead and pick him up, man. However you want to pick him up, man. This is just the way it's going to work. So this is what happens when they rent space in your head. Has JT ever rented space in your head? Can you pick him up? No, but you're carrying them around. So now, I know your wife's down in the nursery right now, but so here you are. When you've got him carrying him around like this, all right, so what good can you be right now? Hey, let's go play disc golf. Could you play disc golf right now, carrying him around? Would you be very good? No. How about you're going to do something nice for your wife, and here you approach your wife. Here, I want you to see what his wife would see right there, all right? You know? You're carrying him around. What could you possibly even do? He doesn't even know you're carrying him around, right? So here's what we've got to do. Every time we realize that we are carrying somebody around, is blood rushing to his head now? He's getting ready. So every time we realize we're carrying somebody around, they're renting space in our head, they're in our thoughts, everything in us is like trying to get them back or just irritated by him. What we need to do is we need to get him off of our hook and put him on God's. That chair is God. So would you put your brother down? I'm tired of carrying him around. Sit down on the chair, man. Put him down. No, put him down on the chair, man. Yeah, there you go. All right. Much better. How does that? Now can you do something nice for your wife? Now can you play disc golf? All right. Now can you be a viable human in society and do things right? But what happens? How many of y'all, oh, yes, I forgive them and I put them down and give them to God? How many of y'all know it's not over? How many of y'all know the forgiveness is a process? Forgiveness, so here it is. All of a sudden, you remember. Let me see your face now. You remember what he did to you, right? You remember. Let's see the anger build. It's building. Go pick him back up again. Pick him back up again, man. Pick him back up again, because every time you remember the offense, every time you remember the offense, every time you get upset again, every time, how many of y'all have had something eat at you from the inside out over and over and over again, all day at work, all day at home? So here it is. Go ahead. Do your normal life. Go ahead and, hey, go shake hands with, oh, hey, I want you to meet Ann and Bob. All right. So I want you to meet Ann and Bob. All right. Yeah. Yeah. And here's the twins over here. Can you meet them? And so tell them you represent Christ, okay? Introduce them to Jesus, all right? Yeah. How's this gonna work? Do you see this is what happens? So finally you realize I can't live this way anymore. Tiny, say, I can't live this way anymore. Give them back to Jesus. Put them in the seat, put them in there good. Make sure he sits down. Yep, there you go. All right. So again, there we are. Put him back in the seat. Man, put him back in. Give him back to Jesus. And let me ask you a question. What good is it when you carry him around? What can you do? Ethan, what can you do when you carry that grudge around? You carry that person who irritated. When you carry that thought around, when you carry him around, what good can you do? You're trying to do revenge, right? But what can you do? Nothing except wear yourself out. And even though we're not nearly physically carrying a weight around, we're wearing ourselves out, carrying grudges, carrying people. We have to give them back to Christ. And let me ask you a question. What can Christ do? Everything. He's way more effective. What if Christ now, what if Christ didn't do anything? What if Christ didn't do anything? Now pick him back up again. You're thinking about it again, aren't you? You're thinking about it. Pick him up, dude. Pick him up. You're thinking about it. I know you are, man. You can carry him like a baby. You can carry him. Oh, dude, get him with a crotch hold, man. Pick him up again. There, man, how annoying is that? Are you getting tired of it? How many of y'all are tired of somebody living rent-free in your head? But they keep living there. They keep living there. They keep coming back. What we have to do is we have to give them to God and we have to leave them with God. Are you ready to leave them with God? 100%. Put them back. And that's when this forgiveness happens, is when we are finally tired of carrying this around. It has worn us out. But as believers, we know we can give them to Christ. Now, what can Christ do to this miserable soul that keeps upsetting Tiny? What can Christ do for him? Could Christ get him back? Could Christ throw down some revenge on him? Could Christ, if Ethan, if you think that person needs a whooping, you think Christ could do a better whooping than you? Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? You might be afraid. You might be afraid that Christ, you might be like Jonah when God said, go save the Ninevites. The Ninevites were people that would fillet their enemy. Chuck, they would literally take a knife and fillet their enemy and stretch their skin on sticks out in front of their gate. So when people walked in, kind of like the rocks. If you don't live here, don't surf here, right? You know, it stretched the enemy out there, you know, fillet them out there. So man, you're warned. Don't come. Don't mess with us. When God told Noah. Jonah. Yeah, Jonah. I get those two confused. When he told Jonah to go witness to him, Jonah's like, no, I'm not going to go witness to him. You're going to save him. And sometimes we don't want to put them on God's hook because we know God's going to be merciful. God's not going to do the damage that I would do. God's not going to teach them the lesson like I would teach them the lesson. And sometimes that's how our human brain works. But man, when it's you that's getting put on the hook, do you want mercy or do you want justice? What do you want, Eric? What do you want? Do you want mercy when it's you getting thrown on God's hook? Do you want mercy or do you want justice? You want mercy, but when you're throwing somebody else on that hook, what do you want? Oh, you're lying, dude. You want justice, man. That's your Sunday school answer, man. When you're really mad, you want justice. And we're afraid sometimes that God's going to give them mercy when that's what we all need, amen? So are you guys good now?
Yeah.
Are you guys good? Okay, so instead of picking them up, why don't you just give them a nice brotherly hug? How many of y'all think they're not good yet? I don't think they're good yet. All right, go sit down, man. But forever, that's what I want you to be thinking about. I want you guys to be thinking about when you're holding that grudge. Man, when you want revenge, when you want payback, when you, and you know what? It may not even be for you and your holy, pious self. It may be for society. It may be for somebody. You know, we come up with our own things, but the point is, I want you to know when they're living rent-free in your head, you're carrying them around. How much could Tiny actually get done in life? Tom, what could he possibly do? Can you imagine, have you ever had more than one person live rent-free in your head? Yeah, can you imagine carrying a whole bunch of people around? This is why that forgiveness is so important. And I'm just sharing this. We're going to finish Romans chapter 12 today. And next week, oh boy, we're getting into Romans 13. Anybody know what Romans 13 is about? Government! Just in time. We're going to see what Christians are supposed to do with government. And we're going to dig in and we're going to look, and we may be through after the election. It may take us that long to get through Romans 13. But we're going to finish this. And the most valuable lesson that I have learned is every time they're in my head, every time I'm carrying them around like a burden, I have to put them back with God. I take them off of my hook because my hook can't do anything, and I put them on God's hook. Sometimes I have to put people on God's hook about a million times during the day. Any of y'all got people like that? Each time, man, that they're in your head, you're carrying them around, it's hindering you. It's hindering your normal life. It's hindering everything. And that's kind of how we end with Romans 13. It's not your job to keep them on the hook. It's not your job to show them what's what. It's not your job to do revenge. Whose job is it? God's. And you're going to see this in his word. And it's not my opinion. You're just going to see it, that it's there. So we're looking at Romans. In fact, let me just go back. Revival through Romans again. This is the end of chapter 12. Don't let them off the hook. That should make you feel better. Don't let somebody off the hook. That's what you don't want to do. You don't want to let them off the hook. You're going to put them on God's hook, which is much more effective. And you never know what God's going to do. Isn't that the cool thing? How many of you have ever seen God totally change somebody? How many of you ever seen God just rock somebody? Man, in fact, that's what happens when you're born again. God totally changes you into something that you weren't before. And so the best thing we can do for is people that irritate us, turn on the news and the politicians, oh, man, and we got people on all sides and no side. There's all sides. Man, what you do is pray for their soul. Because if people get saved, they're different. If you didn't change when you got saved, you didn't get saved. He comes inside, lives inside you, and he changes you. And that's what we want. Turn them over. How many of y'all can save somebody? Jimmy, can you save anybody? All you could do is share the gospel with them. He's the only one. The gospel has the power. We share the gospel, and we have to live the gospel. And it's awful hard to share the gospel when we've got somebody on both shoulders that we won't forgive. We're trying to tell them about how God will forgive their sins, how God is the God of forgiveness. God's the God of love. And here you are. You got two people, one person on each shoulder that you're carrying around and that's weighing you down. We got to give them to God. Now we have testimony as to what God can do in that situation. So revival through Romans, put them on God's hook. You never know what God's going to do, man. God may make them your best friend. And that might be your problem. You're like, I don't want them to be my best friend. But maybe you would if they got saved and you got right with him. So the first part, we're going to look at two stories, or we're going to look at Romans 12 and then a quick story that I've been sending out. And by the way, I do send my text out. If you get my text, I send it out to you every day. But you Android people, you guys are messed up, dude. I'm just saying, sometimes, almost always, I send it from Apple, and it'll say, Abby, you're Android. I could point out all you Android people right now. All you Android people, because you know what comes back? It comes back, and it says text did not send. And then if I send it again, then I get a text back. Hey, I just got it five times. What happened? Or sometimes I even don't even send it again. Now this week I'm not even doing it. If you didn't get it, if you want it and you didn't get it, text me and I will make sure you get it. But man, Android and Apple don't like to play together when it comes to scripture. I sent it to you, Karen. I don't know if you've even got it all week long, but oh, good, because every day it says it didn't go to you. Exactly, right. So do that. But man, it lies. Androids, liars. Y'all need to go over to Apple, you know, the bite out of the apple, like Adam and Eve, you know, they're all straight up truth tellers now. But no, but I'm just saying, it's all messed up. So I've been sending the scripture out, and I'm in Matthew chapter 1. God told me to go back over to Matthew chapter 1 and sending it out. So you're going to see some of that again. It's what I've been studying. And in fact, Karen asked, hey, I'm praying for you. How can I pray for you? How's it going? Working on the message. And within 10 minutes, I had the outline because God took what I'd been studying all week with what we were studying for this and just put it together. What a beautiful illustration of this. So let's get into this in Romans chapter 12, and we'll go from there. So here's what he says. You remember the beginning of Romans chapter 12? He says that we're supposed to I'm begging you, Bob, to walk alongside with me and give your body a living sacrifice. You have a new nature to do the right thing, but you've got a body, a flesh that wants to do the wrong thing. Don't do that. Choose to do the right thing and you will be a living sacrifice for God Almighty. He said, you're going to know what to do by renewing your mind and doing what the Word of God tells you. If you don't renew your mind, you're going to be living in the flesh. But when you renew your mind, you're going to be doing what God wants you to do. So do it along with me. God's even going to give you special gifts to be able to do this. We're going to change from the inside out, not the outside in. And as we do that, he says, I'm going to give you gifts to be able to pull this off. And then he's been telling us all these ways that we can make ourselves a living sacrifice. All the ways where we want to do what the body wants to do, but we're going to do what the Spirit of God wants us to do. So look at the first part of verse 17. He says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. How many of you honestly have ever repaid evil with evil? How about since you've been born again? Since you've been born again even, yeah. Because that's our nature. Our body says, you did evil to me, I'm doing evil to you. That's our system. That's how it works. But God says, repay. Abby, who did it say? Repay who? Look what that word is. No one. Good job. I was getting ready to focus you up. Look at this. So there's nobody that you're allowed to repay evil to evil with? Nobody? I mean, think of the horrendous things people do in this world. Think of the horrendous things that are out there. You're not allowed as a believer to repay evil with evil. Do you get that? And that's not me saying it. Who said that, y'all? God. You're not allowed to repay evil for evil. Now, what's going to be interesting is when we get into chapter 13, which I'm encouraging you to be there, we're going to talk about the purpose why God designed a government. And government has some different rules they get to play by. How many of you know government's got different rules? But it's not what you think. They've got a purpose in doing this. So there's things that the government is allowed to do, or the ones in charge are allowed to do to keep peace in a society that we're not allowed to do personally. So you'll have to come back and hear all of that. But it's interesting. But repay, we as a person, we are not supposed to repay evil for evil. With who? Anybody. Nobody. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. All right? So, in this, all right, Eric's all like pious and holy and got his Billy Bible head on. Somebody comes walking up to you and they just kick you full blown right in the crotch. All right? They just kick you. Your man kicks you right in the crotch. And I know some of you guys are like, ooh, repay no one evil for evil. Somebody just, no reason, kicks you in the crotch, bro. You want to do evil to them? At first, at least when you get up off the floor, right? But give, here's what he says. Somebody does that. Somebody smacks you in the face. Somebody punches you. Somebody hits you with a 2x4. Somebody walks behind you and trips you, knocks you over. It says, no one evil for evil. But look what you're supposed to do here. When somebody does something, look what he says, give thought. How many of y'all, JT, somebody smacks you in the back of the head with a 2x4? Stop. You know what? What's the first thing you're supposed to do, y'all? What's first two words? Hang on. Repay no one evil for evil, but what? Give thought. You get hit in the back of the head with a 2x4. How many of y'all are giving thought? And y'all get, that's your problem. Because if we don't give thought, we're going to do what the flesh wants us to do. We're going to do what everybody does. We're going to do what people do that don't have a big God living inside of them. We have to take that breath. In your case, you're going to take a few big breaths laying on the ground, right? But we have to give thought. What happens when we act out of emotions? What happens when we act out of emotions? How many times have y'all make really good decisions when you're all emotionally riled up? You're like a soda bottle shaking up, and then they open the lid. Well, what they needed to hear was in there. I just needed to give it to them. No, you needed to wait till you were calmed down. When you do it when you're all shaken up, you make a mess of everything. So what's the first thing we need to do when he says, repay no one evil for evil. So here, they've done evil to you. What's the first thing you got to do, Chuck? You're out there, sorry. You got to give thought. Yeah, you're telling me every week stories, man, especially since we've had swells. Oh, I had to give thought, man. You didn't say those words, but I had to stop. I had to think. So when we stop and when we think, what are we thinking about, Rodney? Ooh, they are vulnerable there. I can repay them and get them back right there. Oh, they've left themselves wide open. Surely it is of God. You ever thought that? Surely it's of God. They've left themselves wide open and they need to be taught a lesson. Come on, how many of y'all got that parent mentality and thought that? Oh, God has empowered me and given me the perfect opportunity to teach them a lesson for society so they will never do this again. No, that's not what we give thought for. Look what he says. Someone's done evil to us, but give thought to do. Give thought. Andrea, give thought. Okay, I'm going to go send them in the corner. You're a counselor, right? Send them in the corner and just think. That's all I'm going to do about this situation. I'm going to give thought. And that's what people do, right? Tiny, your brother ticks you off. I'm going to give thought. I'm not going to do anything back. I'm just going to give thought. Okay, but when you're done thinking, if you don't think about the right thing, what are you going to do as soon as you're done thinking? You're going to whoop him again. You're going to pick him up and you're going to carry him around. You got to give thought to the right thing. Look what he says. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do. You have to do something more than think about it. There's something to do. I've forgiven them. It doesn't bother me anymore. I've forgiven them. No, you have to do something. You can do things in your mind, but you gotta go further. He says, give thought to do what is honorable. What is honorable? Well, what would be honorable is to kick that dude right back where he kicked me, right? What would be honorable is to eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know when God gave that eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth in the Old Testament, it was a limitation. You bust somebody's tooth out, he says, don't you dare go any further than busting their tooth out. You mess their eye up, you can't go any further than messing their eye up. But is that what God really wanted, Chuck? Somebody pokes your eye out. Did he want you to poke? Oh, I have to, by God's law, I poke somebody's eye out. Was that his idea? What did he really want you to do with the situation, Chuck? Yeah, forgive them. Restore the relationship. Be a bigger person. Make it work. But you need a big God inside you to be able to do that. Repay no one evil for evil. So they've done evil, but now you give thought. Take the deep breath. How many of y'all have to take a deep breath sometimes? Whoo, take a deep breath. But while you're taking that deep breath, he says, give thought to do what is what? Honorable. What does that mean, Ashley? Honorable. I know I just gave you a really hard word. What does honorable mean? Okay, to show honor. What? Help me out. Savannah, you are, oh man, cacophony. We're going to get to that word in a minute. That's an awesome word she taught me last week, right? Honorable. What is honorable? Your honor? What? Not yet, but you will be one day. But what does honorable mean? Okay, wow, I got way more than I was asking for there. Worthy of respect and imitation and admiration. Yeah, so you're supposed, somebody knocks you in the back of the head with a 2x4, JT. You were supposed to give thought. What can I do in this situation that would be worthy of respect, that would be worthy of imitation? And that would be worthy of admiration. Was that the other one? Yeah. Is that what you're thinking? With the Holy Spirit you are, but in the flesh. So man, look, he says, I beg you to make your body a living sacrifice. It's easy for you to repay back. It's easy for you to pay back evil for evil. It's easy for you to even do more evil than the person who did it to you. How many of y'all are really good at getting people back worse? You were the practical joke winners, right? Back when you were kids. But man, he said, it's easy. But man, to make your body a living sacrifice, I want you to stop. I want you to think before you react. And I want you to do what's honorable. Physically right now, Eric, you ain't feeling honorable about thinking about. How are you going to know what's honorable? Who are you going to ask, Eric? God Almighty, when we get the snot beat out of us, when we're beaten down, when somebody is just eviled all over us, man, that's when we have got to ask God, God, show me. I'm giving thought. I'm thinking with you, God. And by the way, what's the difference between worry and prayer? who you're talking to. So when you're thinking about the retaliation, you're thinking about what I should do in this evil situation, we turn it into prayer by talking to who? God. God, all right, God, here's what my plan is. I would really love for you to send a lightning bolt down and give that person a brand new hairdo. That would be awesome, God. But God's like, yeah, well, what if I did that to you when you did that? And you have this conversation called supplication, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, God, what is the honorable thing to do? What is something honorable that I, but you don't get that when you're impulsive. Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of who? Who, Brad? Yeah, look, read this verse, man. It's more than that. What is honorable in the sight of who? All. So tell me, all right, all. He's helping me define all. All is God. Hey, Spencer, at work, I'm going to give honor. I want to do something that's going to give honor to all. So it's going to honor God. Who else is it going to honor? Give me individuals, though. Okay, your family, yeah, and they're not even there. They don't even know. So it's like, oh, yeah, your husband, he's a really respectable guy out there. Does who else? Who else is it give honor to? Who else are you trying to honor in this? It says all. The person who was evil. Can you believe that, Tom? God wants us to come up with a plan from him that is going to bring honor to the person who just disrespected us. What do you think about that, Chuck? That just ain't right. That is not right in the human sense, in the body, in the flesh that we live this world through as a born-again believer. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. That's why when Jesus was preaching this stuff, man, it was just like, man, when he was preaching in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount and everything, people were like, this is nuts. No, we're going to be taking over the Roman government. Did you get the wrong blueprint? It's like, no, give honor to everyone, including the one who just messed you over. God will tell you what that looks like. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. So you got God, your family, you got the person who just messed you over. How about all the people watching who aren't believers, who don't have a big God? If they see you react in the flesh, they're like, oh, I can do that. Don't be throwing your religion at me. Don't be talking to me about God. I don't see any difference in your life. And again, I'm not telling you what is going to give honor. That's between you and God in your individual situation. But God, if he's saying, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what's honorable, who's going to give you the idea of what to do honorable? And is it not a guarantee that he's going to give it to you? Oh, there's no way I can do anything honorable in this situation. It's gone way. No. You come to God, God will give you the way to react in an honorable way. Because if he's asking you to do it, he's going to supply everything you need. How many of y'all have some situations you're thinking of that are like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't even know if God can come up with a solution for this one. But he has one. He has one. Do what's honorable in the sight of all. Look at this next part. If possible. All right, so if he says, if possible. All right, and if possible. What's the flip side of that? What is he telling us if he says, if it's possible? It might not be possible. Okay, so that's what he's saying, if possible, but he's saying it might not be possible. All right, look at this. If possible, so far as it depends on you, okay, live peaceably with all. So in order to live peaceably with all, how many people does that involve? You and who else? Everyone else you encounter. Can you control everyone else? You got a teenager. Can you still control him? Well, yeah. You, man, it's like you've run for, how old are you now, dude? 17? No, I'm just joking. Yeah, for what, 10, 12 years, you've been running this kite. You've been running trying to get the kite to fly, right? The kite's off the ground, and now you're just letting line out, and it's flying. It's like, have you ever wanted to, like, maybe pull it in a little bit? But you don't want to break the line. You got to let it, you know. And so, again, it's not a control issue. That's why he says, if possible, so far as it depends on you. So who's he telling you to take care of in this? Who's he telling you to take care of in living peaceably in this situation? Everybody take your thumbs, man, and say, me. Yeah, you do your part, even if they're not going to do theirs. Because who are you going to answer for, Savannah? When you talk to God, who are you going to answer for? Are you going to answer for all of those other yahoos, or are you going to answer for you? For you. Am I going to answer for Nancy Pelosi? Am I going to answer for Donald Trump? No, I'm not answering for any of those guys. That's why I'm praying for their souls, man. I'm going to answer for me. I got to do what I got to do, which is right in the situation that is right there before me. So look, if possible, and destiny, he says, if possible, because it might not be what? It might not be possible. But it's possible for you to do what you need to do. And we're all faced with that, because what happens sometimes, Lucinda, what happens sometimes when we're trying, and we're trying, and we're trying? Are you a trier? You're just doing, I'm trying. What happens when it isn't getting the result you want? What are we tempted to do sometimes? Yeah, quit. Do you see that in that verse? No, you keep doing what you're supposed to do. That's your job. That's our job. So if possible, and it might not be, so far as it depends on you, that is, live what? Peaceably with all. Hey, peace is a fruit of what, Karen? The Spirit, yeah. So you have to be filled with the Spirit to know how to live peaceably in a situation where others aren't going to live peaceably. And if you ever want them to live peaceably, you've got to live peaceably full of the Spirit, and it might just rub off, which is God's plan. So if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself. Hey, when is it right? When is it right to avenge ourselves? Sean, when is it right? Is there ever a situation where we are supposed to avenge ourselves? Never. It says never. Yeah. Who's it? God. God. Never avenge yourself. I'll throw a little side note on this right here. I was at a pastor's conference 30-something years ago, and y'all remember a dude named Jerry Falwell? He kind of got involved with trying to shut down Hustler magazine. He went after big boys, man, and he got trashed by people and maybe got involved with, you know, some things, but he started Liberty University, whole nine yards, all this stuff. And he was a man of God, you know, whether you liked his tactics or not, or his theology or whatever. But the man did what he believed God wanted him to do. And I was at a pastor's conference, and they had the pastors up there, and everybody got to ask pastors questions. And he was up there, and somebody asked him, that Dr. Falwell, you know, with you going after Larry Flint and Hustler magazine, man, you got the news against you, you got all the magazines against you. How many of y'all even know what a magazine is? Yeah, back in the day, there were magazines they published, right? Man, you got all of these things coming after you, and you're a pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church, and you're the chancellor of Liberty University. You got all these things going on. How in the world do you do what you're called to do and defend yourself? Because you got people attacking you from all sides. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, my mentor, B.R. Lakin, go look the dude up, that was his mentor. He said, my mentor, B.R. Lakin, told me never defend myself. He said, but yeah, you got people coming at you all the time, and it makes you look guilty. He said, I'm not going to defend myself. And they said, why? And he said, because your friends don't need it, and your enemies aren't going to believe it. Never forgot that. Y'all got that? Don't defend yourself, because let me ask you a question. Chuck, do your friends need it? Somebody comes and says, oh, well, Chuck did this. Your friends are like, no, shut up. You know? In your enemies, you defend yourself. In fact, Shakespeare, what does he say? Oh, thou, my mom, the only reason I know Shakespeare, not because I read it, but my mom used to quote this to me a lot. It might not even be Shakespeare. But whenever I would actually kind of be guilty and I try to talk my way out of a mess, how many of y'all did a little more talking than you should have talked? And my mom would go, oh, thou protestest too much. Is that Shakespeare? Yeah. Thou protestest too. She told me it was, but that's all right. She didn't tell me the Bible stuff was Bible. I used to call her Confucius and Grasshopper and all that. But later when I read the Bible, I'm like, oh, she snuck the Bible in on me. Oh, my goodness. But thou protestest too much. In fact, when you try to defend yourself and defend, the more you say, the more ammo your enemy has to use against you, because they're judging you by themselves and they'll find what they look for. So the more you say, the more they can take and twist it and make it say what they want it to say. It's hard. Don't defend yourself. Your friends don't need it and your enemies aren't going to believe it. So you use that the way you think you need to, but I thought it was one of the wisest things I've ever heard. So, beloved, never avenge yourself. Avenge yourself goes another step. That's, man, what does it mean to avenge? Laura Kerner, you're from Long Island, right? What does it mean to avenge? Is there any avenging going on in Long Island back in the day? I mean, yeah, that's why you're here, yeah. Yeah, your husband was Long Island Bill, right? You know, his sisters didn't get dates because of him before he got saved, right? So was there any avenging going on? What does avenge mean? Yeah, somebody does something to you. Oh, no, I can't. I'm pulling silverback status. I'm going to do something worse to them so that they know not to mess with me. And that's that world of avenging that the world uses. And so he says, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of who? Yeah, the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Hey, so check this out. It is written in the Word of God, so we know that's the Word of God. It's true. Vengeance is mine. So whose job is it to perform vengeance? Whose job is it to decide if there needs to be vengeance? Yeah. And if he needs you to assist him, he will be very clear, but usually he doesn't, because he's not going to do it the same way you are as a shaken up soda bottle. So if it's God's job to do vengeance, how good of a job are you going to do at it, Tom? How good, if it's God's job, who does it take to actually do vengeance the right way? God. So how good are you compared to God at pulling off vengeance? Not good at all. And so what happens when we try to do things we're not really qualified to do? Chuck, get a big swell, hurricane swell, after this thing goes out like Wilma back in the day, and it wraps around and we get a big giant swell. Are there people that are going to try to paddle out that shouldn't be paddling out? And what's going to happen to them? They're going to die. No, they're going to drown. Yeah. If you try to do something you're not qualified to do, it doesn't end up well. God is the only one qualified to do vengeance. And if you try to pull it off, you are going to do the absolute worst job. In fact, what's going to happen? First of all, you're doing whose job? So the person, let's say they needed vengeance. They need vengeance. They need vengeance, and I'm taking the matters in my own hands, and I'm going to give them. So let's say they needed vengeance, and you didn't do anything. How many people are getting a spanking from God? One. Now you jump in and try to do God's job, and you now come and try to do vengeance. How many people need spanking in this deal? Yeah, the more of you that get involved, the more you need a spanking from God. And we just got a big old discipline fest, you know? So stay out of God's work. That's why we're not trying to build a church here. We're not trying to build a church. We're trying to make disciples. Whoever God brings, man, we're trying to help everybody see life from God's perspective. Because Peter, remember everybody was like, well, we're leaving. Jesus is met. You know, he said, well, Peter, who do you say I am? And you guys remember the answer? Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the living Son of God. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. He said, God revealed that to you. And upon that giant boulder of a statement, little rock, Peter, I will build my church. So whose job is it to build a church? And if I'm busy trying to build a church, how good of a job am I going to do compared to God? Horrible. And if I'm busy doing God's job and doing a horrible job at it, who's doing my job? And what's my job? Our job, when Jesus was ascending, he says, as you are going through the world, make disciples. That's your job. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I'm teaching you. That's our job, is to make disciples, not build a church. That's why we're not building a church here. Whoever God brings, what he brings, man, we're preaching the Word of God. We're trying to live the Word of God. We're teaching each other the Word of God. That's what disciples are, is disciplined ones, disciplining themselves to live the way God's Word says to live. Amen? So in this, the same principle, leave it to the wrath of God. If somebody needs wrath, dude, what's better wrath, God's wrath or your wrath? If someone really needs wrath, God's wrath's way more effective. And if it's God's job and I'm trying to do his job, now I put myself in the position of needing discipline. And I'm not going to do a good job. And if I'm busy doing God's job, who's doing mine? Who's doing mine if I'm busy trying to do God's job? Jim, who's doing mine? Nobody. So now I'm in trouble for doing God's job. I'm on the spanking trail with God. Anybody all got a spanking? Anybody ever got a spanking from God? I hope you have, otherwise you're not saved. Hebrews says he spanks his own children. He disciplines his own children. But so if I'm doing God's job with the wrath, I'm dishing out wrath. One, I need a spanking for doing God's job because it's not my job. Two, I'm not doing my job, so I need a little discipline and motivation. I put myself in a mess when I decide that I am going to implement wrath or I'm going to avenge myself. It says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So who, if you deserve to have vengeance because of what somebody has done to you, who's supposed to carry out that vengeance? Who? Do y'all think he can carry out vengeance? Hey, Paul, you think God's good? You think he's a big enough God to be able to carry out vengeance? Yeah, and he can do it better than you. So when we carry it out, we're sort of saying, yeah, God, I don't really trust that you're going to do it really that good. I think you're going to do one of them Ninevite things, and you're going to save them, and you're going to forgive them, and they're never going to suffer the way I suffered. That's the reason we don't put them on God's hook, because we don't trust that he's going to be as merciful or as brutal as we are. We know he's going to be as merciful to them as he is to us. And when we're angry and when we're upset, that's not what we want. That's why we think first. And we say, what's the honorable thing to do? And then we say, the honorable thing is for me to back off. Oh, Tiny left or whatever, but do you think he got, oh, there he is. Hey, did you get tired of picking your brother up? Yeah, man. And you can get tired of this vengeance thing. It can literally wear you out and mess up every relationship you have, including the one you have with God. You've got to keep it. People come, you close your eyes and smoke starts coming out of your ears, dude. You got to take that person and literally put them on God's hook every time it happens, trusting God. Dude, how good is God at his job? Is God pretty good at his job? He's the best. And he says, my job is vengeance. Why would you try to second rate that job? Vengeance is mine. I repay, says the Lord. Only most of the time he repays with mercy to bring people to himself through love. In fact, he says, to the contrary. To the contrary. What does the contrary mean? Instead of giving vengeance, Ethan, instead of beating the tar out of your brother that just broke your favorite thing, instead of just having rage and because you're the biggest one and you know wrestling moves and you know what they, instead of doing all of that that just made you upset, the contrary, what does it mean to the contrary? The total opposite. In fact, here's what it's going to look like, man, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, now he's not talking about sticking a water hose in his mouth and opening it full blast where it comes out of his nostrils, all right? It's not talking about, oh, dude, man, I got to tell you this. You ever want to kill somebody with food, man? Oh, my goodness. How many of y'all know what chicharrones are? Chicharrones, man. I was at Guy's Meat Market, and I saw a bag of chicharrones. I know Alana likes them. Keone. I bought two bags, man, because I ate almost the whole bag on the way home, the first one. And, man, yesterday morning, I saw them in the cupboard, and I'm like, oh, it was breakfast time, right? Chicharrones, that's the breakfast of champions, right? And so, man, I grab one. I'm like, whoa, this is so good. I grab another one, and I had a mouthful of chicharrone dust. If you get the real ones, dude, it turns to dust when you chew them. You don't have enough saliva to make it all not dust. And so then I'm eating the chicharrones, man, and all of a sudden I breathe in, go, ugh. And I breathed, it went in my sinus cavity, it went in my vocal cords, I was dying. Ugh, I was choking to death.
literally. And Linda gets up and walks out. You okay? I'm like, obviously, no. And Keone's looking at me, and Alana's like, they all left me. They ditched me. I'm dying there at the sink, dying. I'm choking to death on chicharroni dust, man. So it's possible. It's possible. So your brother, man, he just ticks you off, makes you angry. So, man, do you just shove his mouth full of chicharronis and make it into dust? And he's dying there. It's like, is that what he says to do? If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Is that what he's saying? Is he saying you're supposed to kill him with, okay, I'll give him something to drink, all right? I'll give him something to eat, all right? No, what's he saying to do? Your brother really ticks you off. Are you supposed to avenge the situation? No, he says, to the contrary, what are you supposed to do? Yeah, Lucas, here, can I make you some pancakes? How real is that, y'all? How real is that? At work, man, somebody ate your food out of the freezer or out of the refrigerator. Yeah, I don't know what your situation is, but man, look what he says. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, if your enemy is hungry, what does the flesh want to do? Flesh wants to let him starve or feed him something that's going to hurt him, like chicharronis, man. But although you're probably not supposed to put five of them in your mouth at one time, you're supposed to swallow in between ones. But anyways, I'm learning. I've only been eating 62 years, so give me some time. All right, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. What? What does your flesh want to do? Just the opposite. How are you going to give that dude who just hit you with a 2x4, JT? Well, here, let me cook you up some pork chops. I'm going to cook you up a pork chop right here. That's the world. The flesh says, you know what? God, what can I do that is honorable? And honorable again means what, Sean? Do you remember them three words? Yes, that. Exactly. Yeah. That's what it's worthy of. Give him something to drink. Oh, look at this. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now you're talking, Pastor. Burning coals on his head. Couple of thoughts on this burning coals on their head. One of the most popular ways to look at this, in Egypt, whenever somebody was remorseful and they repented and they felt really, really bad about what they did, they would have a bucket with some burning coals, and they would carry it around the town as a form of repentance. They weren't burning their head or anything like that, you know, but they would carry it around, and it would be a symbol to everybody of just how miserable, their soul was miserable because of what they had done. It was a true form of repentance. And so in this, if it was taken that way, what he's saying is when you love that enemy, when you cook them the pork chop, JT, when you make your brother pancake, when you choose to love them because God gives you the ability to love them in that situation, he said you've got a lot better chance of them coming to repentance than if you're vengeful. And isn't that what we try to do? Isn't that why we're full of vengeance sometimes? Is we want them to know what they've done so they'll never do it again and they'll change? How many of y'all ever had that work for you? Yeah. Instead, he says, kill them with kindness. Show them, because when they look at it and see, dude, do you know what I just did to you? And you just made me pancakes? You know what I just did to you? And you just did this? What? They don't understand it. Chuck, you think there's some people that have never heard an apology? They live in such a world where they've never heard an apology. And when you say, I'm sorry, they're like, what? They're choking on your apology. Yeah. The world doesn't know about all that. So not a sincere one. You know, and so you kill them with kindness. And the idea is not to kill them. The idea is to restore them. And you're going to have a lot better success loving them. And you can only love them if you're full of God's Spirit. If you're making your body a living sacrifice because your body wants vengeance. So look at the last part of this part. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeah. Dude, for probably 2 or 3 years in Orlando. I knew the chaplain at the county jail there, Ken Odom at the time, and he had a chaplain's dorm. And in the chaplain's dorm, if you wanted to be in Maine, you could be in the Maine facility in the county jail, and you were with everybody, and you could do what you want to do. You know, you had a schedule, you got like, you know, but it was, you spent most of your time in a cell. But what they figured is people needed structure in their life. So they would create like different structured dorms. And my friend ran the chaplain's dorm. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, they would have a preacher come in and preach till about 7 o'clock in the morning. Then they would eat breakfast, take a shower. Then they would start education classes. Then they would do some Bible study. And then at night, they would have another one. In other words, the whole day was consumed with hearing about God's word. And so my job was to get there at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was the guy who woke everybody up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Y'all think y'all got something on me when I see y'all sleeping, dude? I had all these jail cell people, man. I preached to guys at 5 a.m, just woke up, man, in jail. And that's what I would do is I'd preach. But then I would stay and I'd talk to them and I'd counsel and I'd love them and did that for about probably 2 or 3 years in the morning. And man, you know what was the most common reason people were in jail? The most common reason why people were in that county jail, I'd ask them, what did you do? What did you do to get here? What did you do to get this sentence? What did you do? What do you think the most common reason most people were in jail for? It was for doing nothing. What'd you do? I didn't do nothing. What did you do? I didn't do anything. What'd you? So my kids growing up, when I'd say, Ashley, what'd you do? She said, I didn't do nothing. I'm like, you are so lucky you're not in jail. Everybody in jail didn't do nothing. And then I would sit there and then I would talk to them. And most of the time, man, I walked in and there's my wife with some dude. Well, what'd you do? Well, I killed him. Yeah, I walked in and there's my daughter with some. What'd you do? I took care of the things on my own. Well, there's someone stealing out of my back shed. What'd you do? Well, it was reaction out of emotions. It was evil that was being done to them, and they were trying to overcome evil by doing what? Evil. Look what he says. Do not be overcome by evil. Is it hard to be overcome by evil? No. Evil. When somebody does evil to us, all of a sudden, man, gloves are off. No holds barred. We're now legit. I can do whatever I want to retaliate. Isn't that what the world says? And isn't that how we react so often? Somebody messes with your kids, Julia? Woo! No, you didn't. Mama bear, you know. Look at new mama bear over here, man. Hold your little, oh, we need the dad to hold it. Oh, lion. Do the Lion King thing. Come on, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody does evil immediately. Woo, I'm covering that with a glove. But immediately, you're justified in, oh, no, you didn't. But look what he says. Do not be overcome by evil. Why? Because we already established it doesn't work. What God wants to do is what works. But look what we're supposed to do. Overcome evil with good. Ask God, what's the right thing for me to do in this situation? The right thing isn't for you to be overcome by evil, but it's to overcome evil with good. How in the world, when evil is being done to you, your body and everything in you wants to do wrong, but your new nature, you got a brand new born again nature that wants to do what's right. You've got to make your body a living sacrifice. I sacrifice what I want to do right now because I want to do what you want me to do. God, I'm pausing to think about what is honorable. God, I'm pausing to not be overcome by evil and react the way I shouldn't react. God, instead, I want to know what you want me to do in this situation. Since God's telling us this is how we're supposed to respond, how many of y'all think God's going to tell us what we're supposed to do? How many of y'all think God's going to leave you hanging? He's not. I got a whole nother point, but we're not going to do it. I hope y'all don't feel ripped off, but we're done. Y'all getting out early today, man. And you're going to see, dude, he needs to preach longer, man. We're in line with the Methodists at Golden Corral now. No. But I think this is where we're at, man. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Take them off of your hook. Tiny, could you imagine? How long did you carry your brother around for? Can you imagine the people who are carrying their brother around for a lifetime? Can you even imagine the people who are carrying dead people around? So many people need to forgive people who are dead. Turn it over to God. Turn it over to God, and whatever God decides needs to be done will be done. And it's a burden, it's a weight that you won't have to carry because you weren't designed to carry it. God was. God's hook is way better, and it'll be an awesome thing when you see what God wants to do when you put him on his hook and get him off of yours. Amen? You can only do that if you're a believer. You can only do that if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The gospel is simply this. We come into this world. This is what we've learned in Romans all along. You come into this world, and you come in as a sinner. And if you're a sinner, what do sinners do? They sin. Dogs bark, sinners sin. You come as a sinner. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die. And if you die as a sinner, you bust hell wide open. That's what Scripture says. So somehow you've got to get out of Adam's family. You've got to get out of being a sinner. You've got to die to that. And so when Christ came and lived on this earth, he lived a perfect life. He never once sinned. He died on a cross to pay for sin. And from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, when the world turned dark, he took the wrath of every sinner's sin. He took the whooping I should have had for my sins. He took the whooping you had. And in fact, that's why he had to be God, because, man, no one else could have handled God Almighty's full wrath. Jesus handled the full wrath, took all of the whooping. And it didn't, and then after that whooping, he rose from the dead. That's the only one who could do it, to show us that when we die, if we're trusting him, he can raise us from the dead. And then he gave us his righteous life. That's what he did. We come in this world a sinner, we're gonna die as a sinner unless we surrender ourselves to him. And we surrender ourselves to him. We went to the cross and died with him on the cross. We now can rise to live a new life with Christ as our boss, with a new life that wants to do what God wants us to do, that can reject what the body wants to do. And we can do what God wants us to do because we have resurrection power living inside of us. And when he's done with us, how many of y'all know you are immortal until he's done? Isn't that a great thought? Spencer, man, you're immortal. Until he's done with you, dude. There's no army that can take you out. Nobody can take you out. You're immortal till he's done. But when he's done, no army can protect you. And when he's done, we go to heaven and we live there in perfection with him forever. Not because of anything we did, but because he offered us a deal and we took it. If you've never taken that deal and you have the desire to jump in and take that deal, the deal is this. You realize, I'm a sinner, I sin, I'm going to die, I'm going to hell. I heard the deal. If I surrender myself to him, all I know about myself to all I know about him, he gives me his righteous life, and I give him my old life, which he killed at the cross, and now I'm a new creation. I'm now his child. I now can do the right thing, and when I don't, I'm forgiven. And one day I will be perfect in heaven. But it comes down to you making the decision, I don't want to be my boss anymore. I want him to be my Lord. I want him to be my Savior. I want him to take over my life. How many of y'all made that decision before? How many of y'all are sorry that you made that decision? You're like, God, that was horrible. I'm stuck in it now. No. How many of y'all are grateful that you made that decision? How many of y'all wish you'd have made it sooner? Yeah. So there's evidence, man, if you are here today, I don't care how long you've been going to church or have it, but if you're here today and you're like, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I can do this because I don't know that I have the power in me to do this. Give your life to Christ. It's yours. And then live for him and do this. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the gospel. The gospel is the good news that sinners don't have to die. They can be born again into a new family and live forever in perfection with you. Father, that's the good news. That's the best news anyone could ever receive because we're all going to physically die and live somewhere forever. Father, thank you for giving us this good news that we don't have to be overcome by evil, but we can overcome evil with good. Father, that's so mind-blowing. We know we can't do that, but we know that you can do it through us. So, Father, help us that when that evil comes, help us to pause. Help us to take thought and ask you what is the honorable thing to do. Oh, help us to fight off the flesh and crucify the flesh with every ounce of energy we have so we don't do the wrong thing, but help us come to you and ask you, what is the honorable thing? And then help us to use your grace to actually do it. And when people see that happen, there's a lot better chance that their lives are going to change because they can't control themselves. Self-control is even a fruit of the Spirit. You give us self-control to be controlled by you, to do the right thing. And then when they see us acting totally different than anyone would ever act in the situation, we can tell them it's only because we live for you and you give us the power to do it. So Father, I pray that as we go back through Romans chapter 12, in our own personal devotions, when we read scripture, that we look at all those things that are examples as to how we can make our body a living sacrifice. We reject and crucify what the flesh wants, and we use your grace to do what you want. Father, what a great deal, what a great thing. And then there's rewards in heaven as we do that. Help us to be a living sacrifice. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.